Sunday, July 11th. We had breakfast around the pool with our Marshall guests, I in my bathing suit, and then a swim. Then we took them down to the house where Lyndon was born, which I shall start calling the old Sam Johnson house. Lyndon, in his summary of what to do about the brick house, had used the expression in an honest and rather humble, strangely appealing way, I thought, that these two houses we fixed up are just shotgun houses, and see how much attention the one in Johnson City is already making. The brick house is a noble old place. I could get excited about a restoration for it. Lyndon loaded them with souvenirs and pictures of their visit and made arrangements for their transportation back to Marshall. And then, in a great hurry, we were off, this time in the Queen Air, to Johnson City, landing at the Strip with Jesse and Jerry Whittington. I can't help but smile at how thoroughly we have integrated church and school and swimming pool and dinner table in our small vicinity. And Mary Margaret Valenti, we landed at Melvin Strip. That must have thrown the newspaper folks. Met the three Alexanders at the church door, along with all the photographers. Coming out of the church, I was aware there were a lot of familiar Johnson City faces, but there were sure a whole lot of visitors. As I shook hands and made greetings to a lot of folks, they named towns from all over Texas and states far away. The United States is on the move this summer, vacationing. The Alexanders drove home with us, and we discussed the two houses. And then Lyndon assembled the press in the front yard. We announced two new military aides, Colonel Cross, a pilot for more than 4 years now, a major really at this moment, but going to become a colonel on July the 15th, as armed services aide, and Major Harrison as an assistant aide. Major Harrison is a very tall, fine-looking Negro man, West Point graduate, top percent in his class. Apparently a good choice for what must be a delicate post. He is the first Negro to be a presidential aide. I remember Lyndon saying, "Lincoln started it, and I'm going to finish it." And then they went riding around the place. Liz is gone for the day, and I am definitely slipping, because I did not count up all the guests. And as they began to assemble when Lyndon brought Crosses and the Harrisons back, I soon discovered our table for 12 would be overflowing. We quickly put up another table. I said, "Slice some ham," and I whispered to Gertrude. But nevertheless, for the 19 that sat down, the luncheon was a bit scarce, and I, for once, was embarrassed in my house where our meals are usually bounteous. After lunch, Lyndon took a little nap, and then, strangely, he said, "Let's just ride around the ranches." It suited me wonderfully. I love the boat, but I don't love anything every day. So we left about 6:15 with the Califanos and Jesse and Vicky, and rode over the Lewis and the Hartman and the Logan. Mrs. Califano, young and blonde and bright and sweet, was thrilled by the country and was good company. We got on the talking machine and asked Don Thomas to helicopter and out to meet us at the Lewis. Then we sat on the front porch in the rocking chairs as the moon came up. We came home about 9:30 for a good steak dinner. And then, what salve to my conscience, we walked down to see Oriole. First, I do want Lyndon to do some walking. Second, it's been a long time since we've been to see Oriole. She gets so lonesome. Our visit, a very simple joy indeed, is the most exciting thing that happens to her and lasts her a good while. Lyndon promptly preempted the bed, but I made him move over. Beagle was with us. He gets more and more like his daddy every day. He'd been with us this afternoon when we went riding, only Jesse and I very happily permitted him to ride with the Secret Service. Lyndon would point out a rabbit, and Beagle would leave the car, bounding and barking, that hound dog bark that is a peculiar music to our ears. It was a good, quiet evening, and it had been a happy weekend. I called Lucy and reached her just as she'd driven in from New York, and she was bubbling about her stay at Mary Lasker's. She said, and this threw me for a minute, "Oh, Mother, it's awful to have to sleep there." I said, "Lucy, what do you mean?" And she says, "Oh, Mother, there's so much to see. I just walk from room to room. There's Picassos and Monets, Renoirs, Salvador Dali's, though I don't think they look like Dali's." And I said, "Oh, Lucy, don't you remember we went there before and it was wonderful?" She said, "Yes, Mother. I've been there before, but I never knew what there was before my eyes." I do believe the education we gave her was not wasted on Lucy. Lyndon talked to her first, and then he handed the phone to me, saying, "I'll let your mother talk." He's like an old cow when a calf gets out. He just moos and bawls and looks around for her. If Lyndon has lost a certain something by the lack of a most polished Eastern education, he has the compensation, at least, for the earthy expressions, some so amusing, that really say what he thinks in a clear way.